And the Angels Were Silent by Max Lucado. Chapter 15, Uncluttered Faith. So do not let anyone make rules for you. Colossians 2:16. Bedtime is a bad time for kids. No child understands the logic of going to bed while there is energy left in the body or hours left in the day. My children are no exception. A few nights ago, after many objections and countless groans, the girls were finally in their gowns, in their beds, and on their pillows. I slipped into the room to give them a final kiss. Andrea, the 5-year-old, was still awake, just barely, but awake. After I kissed her, she lifted her eyelids one final time and said, "I can't wait until I wake up." Oh, for the attitude of a 5-year-old. That simple, uncluttered passion for living that can't wait for tomorrow. A philosophy of life that reads, "Play hard, laugh hard, and leave the worries to your father." A bottomless well of optimism flooded by a perpetual spring of faith. Is it any wonder Jesus said we must have the heart of a child before we can enter the kingdom of heaven? I like the way J.B. Phillips renders Jesus' call to childlikeness. Jesus called a little child to his side and set him on his feet in the middle of them all. "Believe me," he said, "unless you change your whole outlook and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Note the phrase, "change your whole outlook." No small command. Quit looking at life like an adult and see it through the eyes of a child. Essential counsel for us sober-minded, serious-faced, sourpussed adults. Necessary advice for us Charles Atlas wannabes who would shoulder the world. Good words for those of us who seldom say, "I can't wait until I wake up." And more often state, "I can't wait to go to bed." We are like children in one way. We groan about bed just like they do, only we groan about getting out of it instead of getting into it. It's not hard to understand why. Who gets excited about climbing into the world many wake up to? Deadlines upon traffic jams upon grumpy bosses and crowded streets. Keeping your head to the pillow is much more appealing than keeping your shoulder to the wheel. One word summarizes the frustration of most people. Confusion. Nothing seems simple. Have you attempted to understand mortgage options lately? Tried to understand the moods of your mate? Bought a new phone system for your office recently? Tried to fix a microwave or decipher a therapist's counsel? Then you know what I mean. Enter religion. We Christians have a solution for the confusion, don't we? Leave the cluttered world of humanity, we invite, and enter the sane, safe garden of religion. Let's be honest. Instead of a sane, safe garden, how about a wild and woolly sideshow? It shouldn't be the case, but when you step back and look at how religion must appear to the unreligious, well, the picture of an amusement park comes to mind. Flashing lights of ceremony and pomp, roller coaster thrills of emotion, loud music, strange people, funny clothes. Like barkers on a midway, preachers persuade, "Step right up to the church of heavenly high hope, of high angels and happy hearts." "Over here, madam, that church is too tough on folks like you. Try us. We teach salvation by sanctification, which leads to purification and stabilization. That is, unless you prefer the track of predestination, which offers..." "Your attention, please, sir. Try our premillennial, non-charismatic, Calvinistic creed service on for size. You won't be disappointed." A safe garden of serenity? No wonder a lady once said to me, "I'd like to try Jesus if I could just get past the religion." She speaks for thousands. She may speak for you. Perhaps you long to wake up the same life my daughter does. Playful, peaceful, and secure. You haven't found it in the world, and you've peeked in the church doors and aren't too sure about what you see there either. Or maybe you've done more than peek through the church doors. You've gone in and gotten to work. You've baked, visited, volunteered, and taught. But instead of rest, you get stress. And now you are puzzled because Jesus said you should feel at peace, and since you don't, it certainly must be your fault. God wouldn't say that and not do it, would he? So in addition to being confused by the world and the church, you are confused at your own inability to make sense out of it all. Phew, being a Christian is hard work. It's not supposed to be, though. Complicated religion wasn't made by God. Reading Matthew 23 will convince you of that. It is the crackdown of Christ on midway religion. If you've always thought of Jesus as a pale-faced, milquetoast Tiny Tim, then read this chapter and see the other side. An angry father denouncing the pimps who have prostituted his children. 6 times he calls them hypocrites. 5 times he calls them blind. 7 times he denounces them, and once he prophesies their ruin. Not what you would call a public relations presentation. But amidst of the roaring river of words, there is a safe island of instruction. Somewhere between bursts of fire, Jesus holsters his pistol, turns to the wide-eyed disciples, and describes the essence of simple faith. 4 verses, a reading as brief as it is practical. Call it Christ's solution to complicated Christianity. You must not be called teacher because you have only one teacher, and you are all brothers and sisters together. And don't call any person on earth father because you have one Father who is in heaven. And you should not be called master because you have only one master, the Christ. Whoever is your servant is the greatest among you. Whoever makes himself great will be made humble. Whoever makes himself humble will be made great. How do you simplify your faith? How do you get rid of the clutter? How do you discover a joy worth waking up to? Simple. Get rid of the middleman. Discover truth for yourself. You have only one teacher, and you are all brothers and sisters together. Develop trust for yourself. Don't call any person on earth Father, because you have one Father who is in heaven. Discern his will for yourself. You have only one Master, the Christ. There are some who position themselves between you and God. There are some who suggest the only way to get to God is through them. There is the great teacher who has the final word on Bible teaching. There is the Father who must bless your acts. There is the spiritual master who will tell you what God wants you to do. Jesus' message for complicated religion is to remove those middlemen. He's not saying that you don't need teachers, elders, or counselors. He is saying, however, that we are all brothers and sisters and have equal access to the Father. Simplify your faith by seeking God for yourself. No confusing ceremonies necessary. No mysterious rituals required. No elaborate channels of command or levels of access. You have a Bible? You can study. You have a heart? You can pray. You have a mind? You can think. One of my favorite stories concerns a bishop who was traveling by ship to visit a church across the ocean. While en route, the ship stopped at an island for a day. He went for a walk on a beach. He came upon 3 fishermen mending their nets. Curious about their trade, he asked them some questions. Curious about his ecclesiastical robes, they asked him some questions. When they found out he was a Christian leader, they got excited. "We Christians," they said, proudly pointing to one another. The bishop was impressed, but cautious. Did they know the Lord's Prayer? They had never heard of it. "What do you say then when you pray?" "We pray, we are 3, you are 3, have mercy on us." The bishop was appalled at the primitive nature of the prayer. That will not do. So he spent the day teaching them the Lord's Prayer. The fishermen were poor, but willing learners. And before the bishop sailed away the next day, they could recite the prayer with no mistakes. The bishop was proud. On the return trip, the bishop's ship drew near the island again. When the island came into view, the bishop came to the deck and recalled with pleasure the men he had taught and resolved to go see them again. As he was thinking, a light appeared on the horizon near the island. It seemed to be getting nearer. As the bishop gazed in wonder, he realized that the three fishermen were walking toward him on the water. Soon all the passengers and crew were on the deck to see the sight. When they came within speaking distance, the fishermen cried out, "Bishop, we come hurry to meet you." "What is it you want?" asked the stunned bishop. "We are so sorry, we forgot lovely prayer. We say, 'Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name,' and then we forget. Please tell us prayer again." The bishop was humbled. "Go back to your homes, my friends, and when you pray, say, 'We are three, you are three, have mercy on us.'" Seek the simple faith. Major in the majors. Focus on the critical. Long for God. "I can't wait to wake up" are the words of a child's faith. The reason Andrea can say them is because her world is simple. She plays hard, she laughs hard, and she leaves the worries to her father. Let's do the same.